invocation and the prayer. Dear Lord, we invite you to proceed over this meeting, even if we have different opinions. Give us unity of spirit, and help us to each listen politely as each other share their points of view. Help us to work as a unified team in combining ideas for a great outcome. May we have a spirit of camaraderie in this room and work together on our shared vision to make our city a greater place to live. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The city of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our community in a fiscally responsible manner. City Secretary, please call roll.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant.
Here.
Councilmember Alcazar.
Here.
Councilmember Salazar.
Here.
Councilmember Bryden.
Here.
Councilmember Street.
Here.
Councilmember Martin.
Here.
Mayor Aldridge.
Here. For citizens' participation, first in line is Miss Willie Mae Clay.
Council members and citizens of Kirby, I'm here again to inquire about the status of any plans to buy VIA and the city of Kirby working in partnership in making sure that an accessible platform is placed at the bus stop at the intersection of Charles Conrad and Old Skeen, and as the bus goes out of Kirby. I believe I addressed this issue back in June, and I hadn't heard anything. Now, after I had attended the council meeting here, I had gone to VIA, and I spoke to that issue there as well. I also brought up the issue at the citizens' comment line at VIA. So, I know you can't discuss it here because it's not an agenda item, but I certainly would like to know what the status is. Because apparently, each time I go to that spot to see if there's been any changes, all I see is a bus stop. I'm glad to see the bus stop, but I don't see a platform. And I certainly would like to know the status. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mrs. Clay. Next up is Harold Shaw.
Yes, you.
Mayor, City Council, hope you all having a fun Thursday. We all do. It's what we try to do. I'm going to ask the City Council, all the City Council members, that at least that's been less than two terms, because I think the city of Kirby wants to make sure that everybody that decides on our budgets and has decision on our budgets know what they're talking about. So I'm asking the city of Kirby, the council members, to get a one-on-one class with the ladies that run our budgets, not anybody except for the person that actually does the budgets. So you don't get a hands-on hearsay. Get it from the person that does it. That's their profession. That's what they've been doing for years and years. That would avoid a lot of questions, a lot of turmoil, and a lot of questions from the city. Do these people know what they're talking about? A lot of negativity comes out when there's too many questions. If they know what they're talking about, they know how to read it, it'll be a smooth session for the city council. The meetings won't last that long because there are not so many questions. And I'm kind of curious who's willing to do that, or who's willing not to. I'm nobody to ask, except for a citizen, did anybody participate? Did anybody want to get their knowledge advanced? But when you're talking about the money in the city of Kirby, I think you need to know what you're talking about. Some of you do. Some of y'all been here a while. But I'm kind of leery about people that read budgets. I mean, my wife can read a budget like a back of her hand. She has to educate me. And I'm one of the council members, not the city, but I'm a member. So I have to rely on my wife to educate me. So if I need to be educated because I want to, then y'all need to have that want-to attitude to get educated to make wise decisions for the city of Kirby. That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Shaw. Next up is Roger Romans.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. Last council meeting, Ordinance 0-2021-903 of the Code of Ordinances, Chapter 30, was passed. It provides for certain qualifications for candidates for mayor and city council. Questions were asked by residents prior to the discussions and passage of this ordinance, and this council did not have the common respect to provide answers to their constituents' questions on this matter. Now that this ordinance is in effect, I ask that someone on this council bring this item back as an agenda item so that the residents may get answers as to how this ordinance will be enforced. Who will be conducting the background investigations? What will be the consequences if inappropriate information is leaked? What is the anticipated cost for us, the taxpayers, who will be paying for this? As this ordinance will affect any resident, whether currently on council or someone wishing to serve their community in the future, it is important to provide answers on this matter, as there is another city election cycle quickly approaching. On another matter, item 8F, charter is clear as far as council members serving on boards, committees, and commissions. They cannot do that as long as it is a board, committee, or commission of the city. If they're serving on a board, that does not fall directly under the capacity of the city and the city's management, then it becomes political squabbling to determine who can and cannot serve on boards outside of the city's purview. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you, Ms. Romans. A and B, considering of action on minutes with on special meeting minutes on September 1st, 2021, and regular meeting minutes of September 23rd, 2021. All in favor, raise your right hand.
Well, we need a motion.
Make a motion. We accept the minutes for the special meeting of September 1, 2021.
Second.
I'm sorry, I skipped that.
That's okay.
We have a motion on the table by Mayor Pro Tem Grant and seconded by Councilmember Amadaka to accept the special meeting minutes of September 1, 2021 and regular meeting minutes of September 23 of 2021. City Secretary, please call roll.
Mayor Pro Tem
Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Amadaka? Yes. Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Greider?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Mayor Aldridge?
Yes.
7A, Fire Department Badge Pinning Ceremony.
Good evening, Madam Mayor and Council, citizens of Kirby. Today we are here for a swearing-in ceremony for firefighters and paramedics alike. one of the world's most honored but dangerous occupations. When there is an emergency in the community, firefighters and paramedics are one of the first on the scene. Firefighters and paramedics are there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, responding to devastating fires, motor vehicle accidents, tornadoes, hazardous material incidents, rescue operations, explosions, medical emergencies, and many other critical incidents. Firefighters and paramedics are civil servants as sworn officers following standard policies and procedures of the fire service and standard operating procedures of their departments. They are here to help and mend the ill or injured and prevent death, to stabilize the incident and prevent damage and loss of property. It is a great honor to have this opportunity to swear in these fine men and women to the City of Kirby Fire Department. Captain Timothy Gill started his career with San Antonio Fire Department and has chosen to continue his career with Kirby Fire Department since March of 2021. He was promoted to captain in September of 2021. Now I would like to introduce Firefighter Nicholas Flores and Firefighter Carlos Hernandez. Firefighter Flores started his career with volunteering with the Burnham Fire Department, has started his career with the City of Kirby in August of 2021, and was promoted full-time in October of 2021. Firefighter Hernandez started his career also volunteering with the City of Westlake Fire Department. Mr. Hernandez has begun his career also in Kirby with being part-time in August of 2021 and was promoted to full-time on October 2021.
The state of Texas
and the city of Kirby
done it before.
Council and all of our residents. As we know, the month of October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We know that breast cancer affects both men and women, people of all ages. And so every year in the city of Kirby, we typically like to do something to honor all of our breast cancer survivors that are employees here. So you'll see that some of the council members and staff are wearing the fire department t-shirts. We have been creating a t-shirt every year for several years in support of breast cancer awareness. And so they show that we are supporters of all breast cancer fighters and survivors. And our staff will gather and take a group photo as well on tomorrow and post that in honor of all of our survivors. But particularly tonight, I want to recognize two of our employees that work here in City Hall that are both survivors. So first, I'm going to ask Ms. Tina Infante to come up. She's been a survivor for 10 years to this month. So 2011, she was diagnosed, and she has fought breast cancer. And we want to thank her and continue to encourage her. Secretary Ms. Patty Cox, who was diagnosed in 2019 while she was employed here with the city of Kirby. So we really have firsthand experience with her fight, and we all pulled together as a staff. She had Tina to support her. She had all of our employees there to encourage her, and she was here, never missed a beat. And so she is a survivor, and we want to honor her as well. You. And if we have any other survivors that are in our audience or here today and you'd be willing to stand up so that we can also honor you, you're welcome to do that.
Well, I'm not standing up, but I'm...
All right, you wave your hand, Ms. Clay.
Is the manual of uniform traffic control devices from the
State of Texas DOT gives guidance and the standards for implementing a stop sign. And they are generally used if engineering judgment indicates that one or more of the following conditions exists: an intersection of a less important road with a main road where application of the normal right-of-way rule would not be expected to provide reasonable compliance with the law, or a street entering a through highway or street, unsignalized intersection in a signalized area, or high speeds, restricted view, or crash records indicate a need for control by the stop sign. Now, under the guidance, it says stop signs should not be used for speed control. I believe that's the point of putting this stop sign in, Mr. Grant. What is the point? I'm asking.
What? Are you done talking?
Well, you're done talking.
Well, okay. Also, it should not be installed on a major street unless justified by a traffic engineering study. So I don't think we should be putting a stop sign when there's already one the block before and there's one the block after.
Okay, folks.
That's my opinion.
Having been in law enforcement for over 40 years, having started in this city as an officer in 1975, first of all, we're replacing them. The signs were taken down the last time Benzin was overhauled. So the signs were already there to begin with. The second thing is, some of us obviously do not have children or never have. Mrs. Shaw can testify to this. At the end of the block, just before Crest, there's probably, well, let's see, I saw today six, ranging in age from 11 to probably about 4, on scooters, tricycles, bicycles. And I sat there with a friend of mine's portable radar gun the other day, and it is a run of well over a quarter of a mile from the last stop sign to Crest. The average speed has been 45 to 50 miles an hour. If you don't, I don't care if you believe me or not, ma'am. I really don't. I care for the kids, okay? I'm worried about the children. I'm more than concerned about them getting hit. They, unfortunately, are kids. It's a busy street. And you know what? Breaks my heart if somebody has to stop and start up again. And I believe there's a gentleman that sits back there in the back that lives towards those houses where all those kids play in the street in a white T-shirt, and he could justify that also. So, folks, it's not about containing the speed. It's about the safety of the kids. And I think Mrs. Shaw made the comment that she sees them every morning and every evening playing in the street. Am I not correct, Mrs. Shaw? So if we want to play engineer and we want to go through all those things like we did with the volleyball court, go ahead. If you want to save kids' lives and maintain their safety, put the signs up. Simple as that. Thank you, folks.
So this is one of those topics where basically it comes down to, does it help or hinder the residents? So basically, I was going to ask before both of you spoke that, like, what's the pros and cons? So obviously, we heard pro. I mean, obviously, you can't deny that, what you just said, Councilman Grant just said. So I don't understand by putting the stops, basically by putting the stop sign there, how does that impact the residents negatively? Because I'm not really sure why. What's the pushback for this? If it's not negatively impacting the residents, it's actually helping our community. So placing the stop sign there, I have no problem with that. And also with the guidance, Councilwoman Street, that you just read, that's guidance, okay? So that's not a directive, so we don't have to follow that. So we can up here decide what we think is best for the community, as we should.
Yeah, I haven't heard any negative feedback other than on social media. The guidelines that are set there, if she looked further into those guidelines, she would have found the law that gives us the authority to place a traffic control sign anywhere in our community, anywhere within the limits of the city of Kirby. And I also believe that we need to put a stop sign there because that's a long distance from Charles Conrad all the way to Crest. And now that the street is fixed, yeah, they're going fast. Heck, if they go fast on Swan Lane every Friday night, I can imagine what it's like on Ben Zingelman. So I'm all for it myself.
Councilmember Martin.
Go ahead, Deborah. Okay.
Councilmember Apodaca.
I go up and down that street every single day, just like everybody else. But because we do deliveries and all at work, I go up and down that street quite a bit. I have to run to my parents' house. I'm always going down that street, and it never fails. Somebody is always speeding. Somebody is always running stop signs, and I think it's a good idea to put another stop sign just to control, to have some more control over the road. And with the bike lane and the kids on the sidewalk, because the sidewalks are wider now, the kids are out playing, I don't see anything negative about it.
Councilmember Martin.
Yes, ma'am. I'm all for the stop sign. My question is, I did a little research and the mileage, and I've had a lot of citizens ask me to put stop signs on their road. The question I have, what I'd like to do is postpone this until we do a little more research and get all these streets involved for one ordinance change.
We've already went through all of the streets. We received a list of
I understand that, ma'am. But Buzz Aldrin wants stop signs. Kirby Drive wants stop signs. I did a little survey from Ackerman to Crest is 0.4 miles. From Crest to Charles Conrad is 0.3. From Ben Zingelman to 78 is 0.3. Okay, I didn't go down check Osegging Road. It's a long way. But from Osegging Road to Cinderella on Kirby Drive is 0.5 mile.
Our city manager asked us,
yes,
which streets that we wanted to see stop signs on, and so she could get this ordinance ready for us to decide on tonight, so we wouldn't have to go back and forth to add one, add two, add
well,
one.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
It's already been done.
To change this ordinance so we can add all the streets, and we got to keep going back to it. Because you know, Mr. Shaw's asked for one on Buzz Aldrin. People have asked for it on Kirby Drive. You know, they've asked for it on Osegin Road. You know.
But what I'm saying is,
I understand what you're saying. I do. But if we don't postpone it, we're just going to spend more money changing ordinances.
Councilmember Graham.
If I may reiterate, and unfortunately being the most senior member here, this is exactly how our streets got the way they are. Handle one thing at a time as it comes up. And as the mayor reiterated, we were asked 2 meetings ago to address this situation. And it seems like 2 of us are a little bit behind. So I sincerely ask the council to approve this, and we'll address things as they come, as they're needed. Thank you.
Just thinking of, in my mind, mediation, compromise. Monique, what would it take for us to come back at a later date with all the stop signs that the residents want? Just hear me out. What would it take? We can set a deadline. We need to hear from the residents or let us know. What would it take for us to get all that together? Would that cost the city any money? Like, would that take, would that cost the city any money? How much money would it cost? Like, because I'm just saying, I understand what you're saying, Councilman Grant, but I don't think we should keep coming back every council meeting and putting a stop sign on the agenda. We're not going to do that, people. I mean, that's just ridiculous. So,
I mean, I think you all would need to decide on a process of how you want to do that, because okay, we first talked about this June 24th.
Right.
That was the first meeting. Uh-huh. And council asked the staff to go out and inventory stop signs. We did that. We brought that back the first meeting in August. We gave you the inventory, and in you all's discussion, we talked about different locations, and we decided we wanted to put a no or cross traffic doesn't stop at one section.
That was ready in August.
And that wasn't required to add to the ordinance, so we've already ordered that. And then we asked, are there any stop signs you want us to add? And we only agreed on this one intersection. Right. Now, if we wanted to go back out, I don't know if you want to just give it a few weeks and you're going to go out and survey residents, or you're going to ask residents to send us an email with their locations. So then when we bring them back, you all can look at all of those requests in comparison to the inventory that we already did. And then we put together the ordinance at that time.
I think, to be honest, I think that I know everybody. Everybody up here, I already is not gonna. They're not saying, well, majority up here. I think one might say no about your stuff.
That's all right.
Right?
No,
but here. I think that we can definitely come back. Well, I think that saves time and money. Just go ahead and come back in the next, I don't know, month or so, and have the list. But look, that's it.
But wait a minute.
I'm just saying. That's it, though.
And my thing is, it won't cost us any money, but it's going to cost somebody some due diligence
to go
outside of our staff. You all are going to have to tell us what you want in the ordinance. Okay. That's the only way we can formulate it.
We'll just let them do the research.
Okay. I don't mind postponing this and bringing this back.
Okay.
But when we get the list of the proposed stop signs, I would like our police chief to look into this and look at the areas to see if they are actually feasible to place those in the locations requested.
And this one in particular was agreed upon.
May I say this real quick?
We're doing this the same thing we already did back on the 21st.
Right.
We're doing the same thing. Now we're going to do it again?
There's only, if I'm...
We're just changing the stop signs there. That's it. We're not going... changing everybody's stop sign and then, oh, well, next week I'm going to decide to change another stop sign, and next week I'm going to decide to change another one. No, we all agreed on this one.
Councilmember Street.
I have a question. Mr. Grant, you said that there was a stop sign there before?
Yes. Yep.
On Ben Zingelman?
Yep.
Is it on that list?
Nope.
Well,
because it has somehow faded, because the last time they did Ben Zingelman was 19.
It's been a while.
Okay, so it wasn't just
finished, lady. 1975 is the last time they dug it up and moved everything. They dug it down to about 4.5 feet, and they just never put them back. So that's the way it's been.
But that's the same thing that happened on Swan Lane when she was arguing with me about it.
Right.
That there were stop signs there.
Okay, but anyway, again, here's the thing. You can beat this horse to death. There's a gentleman in this city that I don't care if it was, if this gentleman told me the sun was up, I would walk outside and check. He finds the negative of every and of anything anybody tries to do.
Rabbit hole.
No, let me finish, because this influences a lot of people. The second thing is, all kidding aside, we have gone through this. We had a complete and absolute, it's on record, the prior chief did this exact same thing about 2 years ago, just right either before the present chief got here or right after. They took the list that was provided by the city manager. They checked every intersection. They checked all and every ones that he recommended what should and what shouldn't be. And the situation came to, we tabled it again for another. And we're going through this now. And what I'm trying to tell you all, folks, is I get an understanding, but how much money have we already invested in just putting this one together, Monique?
Well, we did it internally. We did the inventory.
Okay, all right.
The police chief already drove around an inventory.
Correct.
We've done that already. The staff, drafted the ordinance.
And let me say this. In all the time I've been sitting here, there's only one other one I can think of. And the gentleman came up, and it's where – oh, no, it was for water, the flooding on that stop sign. That's the other thing. What I'm trying to say in a nice way is – a lot of people really, they don't understand the meaning of a stop sign. Normally, they do want it to control speed. And if there should be a couple, I can already tell you, Buzz Aldrin should have a stop sign every block because I sit at Mr. Shaw's house quite a bit on as we're visiting. Over on, what is that other street?
Swan Lane.
Swan Lane. Anyway, what I'm saying to you is you can sit here and debate this and go on all night long. But the thing in the meantime is this, and I will say this, if I may finish. The signs by the elementary school that say no standing, no stopping. I'm responsible for that because they used to have just no parking. No, yes, it does. If you'll wait just a minute, please. Let me make my point. What happened was people would line up on the side of the street. The kids would go down the other side and run across because Mama was sitting right there. Well, the no standing means you can't sit there with it in park and the engine idling. That's why it crowds up. We had to have a kid hit by a car to change those dead gum signs. And I went through the roof when that kid got hit because they ran across the street. So now you notice the kid, they don't park on the west side of the street anymore and line up to where Junior can run across. I don't want a kid on my street because we're arguing about engineering and little things like that to get hit. Because if it does, it's on everybody sitting here.
Okay?
I think we should ask the residents. We never did that. We should ask them where they would like a stop sign. If they think they need one, they should email and let us know. We should put a time limit on it, like Councilman Greider suggested. We put a time limit on it. They notify us where they think a stop sign should be, because I think there should be another one on Swan someplace. But that I don't live on Swan, so, you know, I leave that to the people that live there. We made a decision, yes, but the people should be able to have an option to say what they think.
They're not police officers.
No, they're not police officers.
Councilmember Street, please. Mayor Pro Tem Grant, you two need to get a hold of yourself.
I'm done.
Councilmember Grant.
So, thank you, Mayor. Again, instead of us going back and forth, wasting time, let's just, which I think I said my suggestion before, a time limit. 2 weeks, okay? You're these residents you're speaking of, they have 2 weeks. You have 2 weeks to gather that research up. I think we can give them 2 weeks to gather research up, get that information to Monique, 2 weeks. Then after that, then we can come back 2 weeks at the next meeting, and then we can go ahead and vote. I think that maybe we can do a compromise there. I think that will work out. Nobody wants to see kids hit or anything like that. Nobody's trying to do that. So I think that will work for everybody.
Point of order, Mayor. I call for a motion.
I just make a motion. We postpone for 2 weeks.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem Grant, I was waiting for Councilmember Greider to finish speaking before I called for a motion. Thank you for stepping in. I call for a motion.
Well, I make a motion that we accept this, the stop signs on Benzigoin. Second.
We have a motion on the table by Mayor Pro Tem Grant and seconded by Councilmember Salazar to accept the ordinance on Ordinance O-2021-904 to repeal Ordinance Number O-2005-618 to add a stop intersection north and south at Ben Zingelman and Fred Hayes to Schedule 1 of Chapter 72, the Code of Ordinances. City Secretary, please call roll.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Greider?
Yes.
Councilmember Street?
No.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Yes. The motion passes to add the stop sign at the north and south at Ben Zingelman and Fred Hayes to Schedule 1 of Chapter 72 Code of Ordinances. 8B, update and discuss on Kirby Volunteer Fire Department Board plans and activities. I will turn this over to our fire chief.
He did a wardrobe change.
Just because you work for a living, what?
Good evening, Madam Mayor, Council, citizens of Kirby. I'd like to introduce Board President Casey Hawkins, Board Vice President Domingo Guerrero, Member at Large Edward Villanueva. Yeah, I said it right. So, Casey, Board President Casey Hawkins will be answering most of the questions.
Step on it, Mr. Hawkins.
Yo.
Boy, do I see your name on Facebook.
That's my brother from another mother.
I don't know.
Good man.
My name is Casey Hawkins. I'm president of the volunteers. We're trying to get back together. I myself have been a volunteer and was an employee for the Kirby. I was a volunteer for many years and still do. Whatever questions you have, I'll try to answer them.
What do you need?
What do I do?
What do you need?
Oh.
Well, what's in the plan?
Yeah.
What are we?
The plans and activities right. are.
The plan is. Okay. The plan is, one, we're working now to get volunteers. Here we have a few of them that are already certified in EMS and fire. A couple that are wanting to come volunteer so we can hold their certifications for them. And just recruiting right now to get bodies in the door before.
So we're trying to get the program started again the way it used to be.
Yeah, but we are going to plan some with the people we have now and help with the paid guys that are going to be on shift to do a couple of fundraisers before Christmas. So
we can put them on our page, correct? Or no? Our city page?
Mm-hmm. So maybe you want to share just kind of like what the purpose and function is of the volunteer fire department and how that supports the city.
The purpose of the volunteer fire department is to support the paid staff with their fire suppression, EMS, and whatever else the chief deems necessary for them to do. And, of course, helping out with resident stuff. Residents might need. We'll do a lot of things. Let's see. Can't think of anything.
What about plans for the volunteer firemen's picnic to come back?
When we get bodies, live bodies, and the more volunteers, then we'll look at putting that back on. We might not start it off being like the Hobo Fest, big and huge with the carnival. Might start off with something smaller, just a cook-off, and then work our way up into that to see how participation is.
I think y'all should start planning that cook-off.
Yeah, it won't be till like
the following year.
The following year, and maybe not next year. But
basically, y'all are gonna help supplement manpower.
Yes.
For the chief.
Yes, there's a
and at no cost to the city.
No cost to the city at all.
Right.
The volunteers will have their own money. We have a board that controls that, and our goal is to get people in here, get them trained. We'll pay for schooling. We'll probably even send a couple of the paid guys through certain things, but it has to go through approval with the board.
Most of the money you're getting is for training, correct?
Yes, through the fundraisers.
Yeah.
Training and equipment. One of the problems is we have to get the guys gear that are going to be volunteering. The gear that they have in surplus at the station is all expired. The state does not care if volunteers use it, but everybody else cares, because just because it says volunteer doesn't mean that you're not running into the fire with these paid guys. You just don't get paid.
Well, everybody's the same when you go to a fire.
Exactly.
Member Ryder, did you have a question?
So how many volunteer firefighters do you need that you would like, or how minimum, maximum? How about that?
I believe we have a maximum of 10 that we agreed on, I think, at a meeting. Yeah, maximum of 10 for right now, just so that we don't have like $2-3 million in the bank. So that money goes fast when you're not bringing in money. Mm-hmm. So we'll take the 10 we have. Most of them are already certified, so that cuts back on budget. One of the goals that I want to do is I do critical incident stress debriefings for the fire department, this one in the ESD, and I want to start a little core of guys and the volunteers or all of them to go through this training because it's free. So it's just going to take a while to get stuff organized.
And also, the mayor mentioned the picnic. How many volunteers do you need to make that successful? Can you give me a number?
Everybody in the city.
Well, I mean, 8,000 people. But I mean, like, I'm saying volunteer, like boots on the ground to help just work it.
As many as possible because...
150?
As many as possible. Excuse me. I can't give you a number because we had 30, 40 people in the fire department.
Right.
Including the paid guys that would go out there and volunteer and do their time. The paid staff would come out there and set up and fundraise and all that stuff. And everybody was beat up after just a Friday, Saturday, and half a Sunday mm-hmm. of setting up and taking down and running around. So it's, you know, anything that the citizens do in Kirby mm-hmm. to help out the volunteer fire department is helping out the city.
And I have one more question, incentives. So, for instance, what are you offering for them to become a volunteer firefighter? I know that in, I believe it's Cibolo, I'm not sure, so don't quote me on that, but I believe in Cibolo that the mayor there said back in the day what he did was with their volunteer fire department, the ones who lived in the city, they actually paid their water bill. That was like an incentive, like a perk. So have you thought about anything like that or any incentives?
We have incentives. One, some of the volunteers are not going to be from the city of Kirby. They're going to be from wherever in Bexar County because mm-hmm. you're going to need the help. And two, the biggest incentive I can give anybody who wants to volunteer for the fire department is it's your city. So get out there and come help. Other than that, we're going to have life insurance
okay.
will be provided after you have to serve some time.
Mm-hmm.
You get free training. If you're looking to be a future EMT or a firefighter, there are programs offered through the volunteer fire service that you can go through and challenge a state exam. So there are all kinds of different opportunities.
Casey, you had mentioned about the volunteers that you would need to put back on the picnic, and that right now that you just don't have enough volunteers. What if you put out a sign-up sheet for citizens to volunteer to help put that on?
Yeah, we did that. I think we've done it before with the picnic before, and that's part of the reason why it's going, because we didn't have volunteers, and everybody knew when the picnic was every year.
Because I don't ever remember seeing anybody putting out a volunteer sign-up list.
No, there was never one put out. People would just come up to the station and help out because they knew when it was, you know, saying when the picnic was.
Back in the day, a lot of the businesses would come and help out,
right.
And then they were directed to the fire chief and
There's another plus, too. Once you have a person certified, just like our reserve officers, police officers, if a fireman calls in sick, if an emergency happens, then you have a certified firefighter to go in and take that officer's place, and it doesn't cost the city a dime.
Right. Well,
these guys are still putting their life on the line.
Well, no they... In. If
okay, go ahead.
They... There have been situations like that. Somebody gets sick or somebody had to go home for a family emergency. And in the past, if somebody was there at the station and then they're certified, then it would be up to the chief to say,
right. You
know, that's cool.
Yeah.
But it gets iffy, or not iffy. It's something you can't do if they're not certified.
No. That's why I said certified. Just like I know here, we have a couple of reserve police officers that, during COVID, they really stepped up and put a lot of free hours in for our city.
Yeah, and if you're certified, you can apply and be a part-timer for the city.
Sure.
So it's a win-win for people that are going to volunteer. It's just you're going to do the same thing these guys do.
Where are they going?
I don't mean to keep beating a dead horse, but I really think you should reconsider that volunteer sign-up form, because I would really like to see that picnic come back next October.
Oh, that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not talking about a big scale like what we're used to. Of course, start up small. At least it's something.
Yeah.
This community needs something
to get us
back to normal.
I'll talk to the board. We just had a meeting a few days ago, but I'll talk to them and see what they say. But
when's your next board meeting?
We haven't set that up. We do them by Zoom.
As needed,
because they only have to have them once a quarter or something like that. So, I mean, right now, everybody's hunting and stuff.
Councilmember Martin.
So you can come help out without being a volunteer fire department.
Of course.
That's what I wonder. You don't need an old man like me to be a volunteer. You'd probably die trying to get there. But, yes, I'd be willing to come help you with anything.
If we have a function, it'll be posted on Facebook way in advance. And if anybody wants to volunteer to help out with stuff, they can. I'll talk to the board about the picnic in August, you said?
At least a cook-off
October.
Or something.
I'll see, but
you can get in touch with Steve Jimenez. He did our last cook-off.
Oh, yeah, I talked to Steve.
Yeah.
I know him. But I'll see. It depends
more than
on.
He would be happy to do that for us.
Yeah, but it's not only that. It's the cost.
I understand.
But they're expensive. And if you don't get enough people interested in the payout for the cook-offs, the grand prize, if that's not a lot of money, these guys are not going to come out here.
Correct.
And cook. I used to compete, so, you know, the price has to be right for a lot of them.
I think you should have a resident cook-off.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, there are all kinds of things we can do. One fundraiser we want to do is, or we talked about, is maybe having before Thanksgiving, doing a turkey leg sale drive-thru. The fire station will have turkey legs and sides and stuff. And then a breakfast with Santa Claus before Christmas.
Well, you know, you could also bring back the margarita pour-off. That doesn't hardly cost anything.
That's true, too. But we'll see. I'll have to talk to the board.
You sound like a parent saying, we'll see. I don't like to hear that.
I'll think about it.
Casey, thank you. Thank you for starting up the volunteer.
I have one question about, do you all have the volunteer Facebook page up and running, or where do we get information that's not functional?
I'm going to have somebody young.
Oh, okay. Well,
I tried and it didn't work out right for some reason. So.
Okay. Well, if y'all want to send chief information, you know, when you have events and activities, we can put that on the city social media and website.
.org. I did put, well, no, it wasn't the city website where I posted something.
You know, you should put all your contact information on it as soon as possible.
Yeah, because that way we can advertise that you're seeking volunteers.
Yeah. It would hurt.
Yeah, and then we can.
People can go to, the National Volunteer Fire Council. That's where we signed up to have a page where they can go in there and apply, and it sends an email. And then Domingo has been calling people back. But I can give you that information so you can post that on the website.
Yes, please.
And I got a funny feeling you could get on Kirby Society and they would allow you to put something on there.
I'd put something on Kirby Society.
I saw one, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you should make that a permanent thing, truthfully.
Oh, yeah. I don't know who runs that site.
Casey, just so you know, I already had a citizen text me right now that they would be willing to run the pour-off.
Okay.
Wow, that's real time.
Tell them we'll get back to them on that. Yeah, because I have to get permission from the board before we do anything like that, because it costs over the limit that.
All right. Does anybody have any other questions for Casey?
Just thank you.
Thank you so much, Casey, for starting this back up for us.
You're welcome. These guys help. Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
8C, discussion and possible action on the City of Kirby investment policy, strategy, and options.
All right, so I don't know if it was last meeting or a couple of meetings ago, we talked about our investment report, and we discussed, you know, looking at some other potential investment options. So in your packet, you had copies of the resolutions, which we do have to review and update annually, so that will come up in January.
We have an approved investment policy and an approved investment strategy, and that is just on how we're going to invest our money, and that's in line with the Public Funds Investment Act, which we do have to follow. But I thought it would be helpful to give you a breakdown of what all of the city's portfolio is, both our cash accounts and our investment accounts, and an explanation of what each of those funds are for. So that's what you have there color-coded. You'll see that the yellow-coded items are the things that we have at Schertz Bank and Trust, which is where our depository contract is for our bank accounts. And the blue colors are our text pool accounts, which are all of our investment accounts. And you'll just see that these are all the unreconciled totals as of 9/30/2021, which those will be reconciled during the upcoming audit, which is why we don't do a quarterly report for the end of the fiscal year, because that's taken care of through the audit. But wanted you to see those, and the key things are, so you'll notice on the all of the blue highlights, that's where our investments are, our text pool money. So that first one under the general fund is operating revenue. It's been open since December of 2000. Then you'll see under the water fund, we have three different investment accounts with text pool. The first one is the water system, opened in October 2005. And then we have the meter fund, which was opened in July of 2001. Those funds are restricted. That is for deposits that come in. So when people pay their deposit for their water accounts, we have a cash account that stores that. You'll see that's the meter checking. And then when they close an account and if they get refunded, it gets refunded out of that checking account. But apparently when that was open in 2001, they may have had too much money sitting in the bank. So it was obviously moved over into that text pool account to spread that out a little bit. And then also some $100,000 of it was placed in a CD. And that's the yellow highlighted, the meter CD that was opened December 11th of 2008. So those are what, you know, all of the funds that are in water that we have now. And then the last text pool investment account we have is the general obligation series bond for 2018. That's for the street, for the Ackerman Road project. That's the largest account that we have in text pool, and that's over $6 million. All of the interest that's accrued on that account in the bank is that $7,794 that you'll see under the capital project series. So what we do is when we get ready to pay our engineer or once we get a construction contract, we transfer the money out of that text pool general obligation account into the capital series account in the bank, and then we pay them that way. One of the reasons we've been keeping it there is because of the liquidity. So if we need to be able to get that money right away, so if we get an invoice on Monday, we could actually, if we do it by a certain time of day, we can transfer that money the same day and be able to pay those accounts. So if we had it, if we had all of it tied up in a CD, we wouldn't be able to access it as much. But I did check with our financial advisors and just discuss other options. So they did say, you know, if we felt like the Ackerman project, we know it's going to take about 24 months. So if we felt like we don't want to leave the whole $6 million in the text pool, you could potentially take some of that and place it in CDs if you feel like it would grow more interest there. Now, like we mentioned, our depository contract is with Schertz Bank, so we did research whether or not we can put them in other banks, and we cannot do that right now because we are in a five-year depository contract with Schertz, so we do have to keep all of our money there unless we decide to do a renegotiation of that contract. And in the future, if we wanted to look at multiple contracts with different banks, we could do that at the time that we bid it out and negotiate contracts. So that's something that you can consider for the future. We also talked about, because I know we had some discussion last time about why we didn't want to put more of that money into Schertz Bank. So right now, Kirby has about $3.8 million total in Schertz Bank with all of these yellow accounts. So they have given us a letter of credit for $4 million max. So we cannot put more than $4 million into Schertz Bank under this current letter of credit. Now, if we want to renegotiate a higher letter of credit, that's something we could consider talking to them about. But they don't necessarily favor that because it lowers their ability to lend money. And So that's typically why, you know, they have to provide letters of credit or collateral or pledge security to all of the entities that have money there. So the more they have to secure, you know, that's more reducing their loan power or lending power. So, you know, I thought it'd be good for you, again, for you to see this and just kind of think about it. So we have about $12.6 million total. $8.9 million of that is in the text pool. And the remaining of that is in Schertz Bank, broken up as noted. So we don't have to make, you know, any decisions tonight, but if y'all have questions, we can answer those. And if you want to think about it and we come back another time and talk about some moving some money around.
Well,
does anybody have any questions for Monique?
No, I don't have a question. I just have a comment. Well, I think that what we need to do is just leave it alone for right now. We also need to understand that if we do make more than 25%, then we're going to get taxed for it, and then the rest of it is going to go back to wherever we got that money from.
Right. Whatever's, and that's on the whatever, bond, on the bond money.
On the bond, yeah. Yes. It's going to go back.
Correct.
Whatever 25% we make over it. And here again, we cannot, if we put in for a 30-day, even for a 30-day CD, and then the bill comes in tomorrow, what, are we going to cut that CD off and get fined?
Correct.
We can't be doing that. You know, that's why this account for municipalities was created, so you can be able to get your money, you know, like, you know, we're trying to rebid out. That's going to cost us money. But if it's in a CD, you can't go out and get that money to pay for a rebid.
Are there any more questions or comments?
Monique, so if we make any changes or major changes or anything like that, is it run through the city attorney?
We would go through our auditor. Now, if we felt like it was something that needed legal advice, we'd go to the city attorney on. But just our investment and how we move our money around is, we have the auditors, and then we have Hilltop Securities, who's our financial advisors, and they have counsel that they use, their legal counsel.
And then we would have to pay for that?
We would, yeah. We'd pay for their...
So it would cost us money to try to make money.
Yeah, a little bit. And there's that option. Like, some cities do pay a financial advisor on retainer and let them do all of the investments. We typically are doing them in-house. Myself and our finance director are our investment officers, and we do them ourselves in consultation with the auditors and our financial advisors. But we're not paying them a retainer to go out and invest and monitor our money for us. But we could do that. But typically smaller cities, you know, don't spend that money.
I think we looked at it one time, and the percentage was a tad high because it worked with a percentage, not a rate.
Yeah. And one of the things to keep in mind right now, you know, we ask around, the interest rates are really low. So we were looking at text pool when I was at TML. They had a breakdown chart that showed you what interest rates were, or they call them points, in the text pool pre-COVID. They were a lot higher, and then they show you post-COVID. So it showed, like, they were at 37 points pre-COVID, down to 7 points now. So that just shows you, you know, the way the market is, things have gone down. And then the banks were saying the same thing. Their interest rates are really low right now, so you're not making as much interest. That's just kind of everywhere. We're hoping that'll get better as things start to improve, you know, in the economy. The other thing I want you to make note of, so under that water fund section, that text pool, the last one, we have that $134,000 in there for capital items in the water department. That's for infrastructure and equipment and water only that we can use that for. So we know that our water meters are going to need to be replaced in what year? Do you remember? Okay. So we replaced water meters, I think, just before I got here. So it may have been like 8 years ago now. So I think it's every 10, 12 years that you got to totally replace them. And so that's a fund that you could use for something like that, that we could start setting aside money to replace water meters, put a little bit maybe more in there every year. So when we get to that year, then we can just go and purchase them outright, as opposed to financing something like that. So that's what you would use that
particular fund for, or you could use it for.
Okay. Does anybody have any other questions for Monique at this time? Okay.
All right.
We will be moving on to 8D, discussion and possible action on appointment of a member to the Beautification and Recycle Committee. We do have one applicant, Simone Green. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, make the motion. We accept Simone Green.
Do we have her information?
It was in your package. It was emailed to us.
Okay.
Second.
A second.
We have a motion on the table by Mayor Pro Tem Grant and seconded by Councilmember Martin to accept Simone Green to the Beautification and Recycling Committee. City Secretary, please call roll.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Azadaka?
Yes.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Greider?
Can I vote on that?
Sure.
I can vote?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, you can.
Okay,
yes.
It's your deal.
Yes.
You're in charge.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Mayor Aldridge?
Yes. Simone Green has been appointed to the Beautification and Recycling Committee.
And can I just say something real quick about her?
Yes, ma'am, you can.
That I met her the other night, and she, wonderful lady, and actually, she was telling me that she used to be on the Parks and Rec. And she was so excited, like, telling me about that. And I was like, well, you can volunteer for that, too, if you want to, you know. But I'm just saying, she was wonderful, so I'm glad that she's on board, because she's really ready to work and excited.
Thank you, Councilmember Greider. Moving on to 8E, discussing impossible action on Ordinance 0-2021-905, designating the official city newspaper for publication of matters pertaining to the city of Kirby. This is the first reading.
And just, you have in your packet kind of a comparison of costs. So just know, you know, if we implement this, it will be an increased cost. But one of the reasons we want to do it is because our current newspaper of record is the Northside Herald, which only runs on Wednesdays. So it limits us to when we can publish. And because they outsource to Houston, they have moved up their publication deadlines. So we have to pretty much turn things in almost a week out in order for it to be published, which is very challenging during budget and tax season, and also if we need to do publications for planning and zoning and other items. So the Express News, of course, runs daily. So you see the, but there is a break difference. So we're paying $3.25 per line and $25 for the affidavits currently. That would go up to $10.22 per line and $50 for the affidavit fee currently. So if you decide to change it, it is an additional cost. We just got to kind of weigh the options of what we think is better, more flexibility versus more expense.
Well, I think we've run into this. It's already caught us a couple of times being short on the deal. And, you know, it's one of those things where darn if you do, darn if you don't kind of thing. And even though the Express News is published, too, in Houston, it's the same thing, but it's a shorter turnaround time and a less time for notification. So, you know, I would be in favor of changing to the Express News.
Anybody else have anything to say?
I mean, I hate the cost. I mean, that's a pretty good jump. But here again, that caught us the last time where we couldn't change anything or do anything because our time limit had run out to go and post something. And that was almost 15 days off, and we couldn't post anything. So I'm also with our mayor pro tem that we change it.
I'm good with it. I think we're to go with them, too.
All right. I call for a motion.
Which?
Express News.
I know, but which you want me to read? The ordinance number and go with the Express News, or how do you want me to read it?
Yes.
If you'll just read the ordinance number and that, and then say designating the San Antonio Express News as our official newspaper.
Mayor, I make a motion that we accept ordinance number 0-2021-905 and designate the San Antonio Express News as our carrier.
Second.
We have a motion on the table by Councilmember Martin and seconded by Councilmember Salazar to accept the San Antonio Express News as the official publication for matters pertaining to the City of Kirby for Ordinance Number O-2021-905. City Secretary, please call roll.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Councilmember
Sotomayor? Yes.
Councilmember Ryder?
Yes.
Councilmember Street?
Yes.
Yes. The first reading to move our publication to Express San Antonio Express News has passed. 8F, discussion and possible action on city council members serving on boards, commissions, and committees. I believe Councilmember Grant, Councilmember Greider wanted this on the agenda. Take it away.
So I'm going to start with the senior center first. As of right now, we have two council members on the board. Councilman Martin is on the board, and Councilwoman Street is on the board, treasurer, and council liaison. My suggestion is if there are any credible volunteers to submit their application, then any council member should do the right thing and step down. So let's at least compromise here. Councilwoman Street, you should resign from the board and step down as treasurer because you still are the council liaison to the senior center. And definitely, again, I'm strongly against being the treasurer. I think that's a big mistake, and I think you definitely should step down from that. Now, again, if any or when volunteers apply for the center, then Councilman Martin, you should step down. And also let me be clear, just because you're not on the board, that does not mean that it stops you from volunteering. You can go up there 7 days a week, all day, every day. You can give your time, your money, sell tickets, do everything. You still can do all that same stuff. But I think that we need to give the residents a chance to volunteer for their communities, and we're holding up seats. So now as far as the Economic Development Committee, we have had interest in a credible person, a business owner actually in Kirby, who wanted to volunteer, but a council member wouldn't step down. So again, let's don't deter people who want to volunteer and participate and take up seats. Let's be the backbone. We should be the backbone of these boards and committees and in the background. Now, at this time, I am going to give you the opportunity, as I made my suggestions, to do the right thing moving forward, the council that are currently serving on the boards and committees to do the right thing and step down, because I think that this potential conflict of interest, definitely as a treasurer, that's a no-go. But as far as just, we're just talking about really about the, just being on the board, I mean, I just think you should step down.
Does she not want a response? She asked for one.
After Councilmember Salazar speaks, you may give your response.
I didn't know that she was also treasurer, so that makes it even worse for conflict of interest for the city of Kirby. They need to make a choice. Either you want to be up here with us or you want to be down there with your boards. And I suggest that you make that decision here before we leave. Not only that, you have already been advised in a public workshop by our attorney that it is a conflict of interest and you should not be doing that. Well, you shake your head all you want. He was standing right there.
It's not a conflict of interest.
That it was not a good idea. It was not a conflict of interest.
Point of order. Yeah. We are not going to sit up here and argue.
Here's the point. You're trying to run money up here.
Like that? Let him finish.
You're trying to run money up here, and then you're trying to run money at the senior center. Talk about a conflict of interest.
Okay.
Well, might as well, because But they need to step down immediately.
Is he done? It is not a conflict of interest, according to the attorney who stood there in open counsel and said that. There is nothing that says I have to get off the board. It is acceptable for this council to put people on the...
I'm not your child, so don't talk to me like that.
Well, she doesn't need to be looking at me and talking to me like that. I'm not her child.
Councilmember Salazar, point of order.
Yes, ma'am.
If it is appropriate for this council to assign council members to the Senior Center Board on previous occasions, then it is not inappropriate for me to stay on Senior Center Board just because I became a councilman. There is no reason that I can't be on there. If you can put me on there because they don't have enough people, then there's no reason I can't stay on there when they do. No reason whatsoever. I am not resigning. If you want me off the board, you're going to have to vote me on.
Councilmember Grant.
And that's exactly what I was just about to say. You know, it's amazing. The first thing you should do when you're elected is get the city charter and read it. And 11.03 tells you that once you are elected, you will resign from any board and commissions, and also committees, because we're going to add committees. So, in truth, if you want to really get down to the bottom line, both of you, everything that you voted on since you have been sitting here that has to do with that center could be null and void because you are against the city charter. And let me finish, Mr. Martin. I can already see it coming. We do control all of the boards. We appoint and we take on and off. And the city charter says you cannot be on it. You are in violation of the city charter.
Councilmember Martin, did you have something to say?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, they are.
When was this the last charter changed?
Right, just recently. Read it.
It wasn't on there before, this last charter?
Been on there,
that's right. So when you were on the board there, you did the same thing that you're accusing me of now.
Nope.
I will not resign if you want to take me off. That's it.
Councilmember Greider. Sorry, I need to get my thoughts together. Ms. Norma, can I ask you a question? I know, I'm so sorry. Can I ask you a question? From my understanding, I don't know how many months ago it was, but I remember you were saying that there was other volunteers that were willing to be on the board, correct? But do you not have any other volunteers? Do they have to live in the city of Kirby to be on the senior center board?
They don't live in the city of Kirby.
Okay.
I wish they could, but I don't know from the bylaws it has / if they're residents or not. I don't understand, but as far as I know, they have to live in the city of Kirby.
Okay, so let's just to make this, okay.
3 minutes.
Okay. Yeah,
Not this time.
No, I'm just saying.
But we haven't advertised for opening, so we don't know. We in reality don't know how many people are willing to come forward. We have to have the vacancies before we can publish it.
So this is what, and Ms. Norma, I'm finished. That's all
thank
I just
you,
wanted
Ms.
to
Norma.
Thank you.
I'm finished.
But what I was going to say, so... As of right now, as a compromise, if there is no volunteers to replace them.
But we don't know that.
Okay. Well, she just said there's no volunteers to replace.
Well, because we haven't publicized it.
Well, no, the application is always open. But, so, as a compromise, right now, since there's no applications in hand right now. So, until we get some applications in hand, then... I'm sorry. Once we get applications in hand, then you should step down.
Wait.
Now, I mean, we give you the opportunity to step down and do the right thing. But my thing is, as far as, and I'm saying this for Councilman Martin. Now, I'm saying for Councilwoman Street, you're already the council liaison. I mean, it's not like you're not involved and you're there. So I definitely think the treasurer is a no-no. And if you're already council liaison, then I don't see what's the why you have to be on the board. I don't understand that. And if you can tell me a really good reason or explain why, I mean, change my mind. I don't understand.
I can read my hand.
Okay, I am going to allow Councilmember Street to reply, but I don't want anybody to interrupt her. I don't want any outbursts. Let her finish. Councilmember Street.
I have no reason by any of the bylaws or the charters to get off the board. I asked when I ran for this seat, I checked with the city. Do I have to get off the Senior Center Board? Do I have to get off EDC? No, I do not. So I did not get off. I checked with the city manager. I checked with the city secretary. I read the charter. I was on charter review. I have read the charter. There is nowhere that says I have to, because the Senior Center is not a board that was established by the charter. It was not established by ordinance. It was established by the city setting up an articles of incorporation for the Senior Center. It is not anywhere in the ordinances. It is not anywhere in the charter. I do not have to get off the Senior Center board. The money does not commingle with the city money. I am not done. Councilman Grant says that nothing that he did before is like what we're doing now when he was on the Senior Center Board. I beg to differ. If he was a voting member of the Senior Center Board, then he's doing exactly what we're doing now. There is no reason why we can't continue to do that. If the City Council decides they want to vote us off, they may do that. That is within their power. But as far as there being a conflict of interest, there is no conflict of interest. Now, if I may address the EDC.
Yes, ma'am.
I am unaware of any applications that have been made for the EDC. If there's someone interested in being on it, we have a hole in the EDC without me getting off. We have an extra spot in there that's open. No, they're welcome to join us.
We don't have any vacancies on EDC.
Not at all.
Jackie's not on there?
No, you all appointed Thomas Hernandez a few meetings ago, okay. So we don't have any vacancies.
Right. Forgive me. But we are not unaware of any applications that have been sent in. So if there are, then, you know, I'll consider that. But at this point in time, there's nothing anywhere that says I have to get off these boards or committees. I don't see how I'm hurting the city by being on them. And why you're chasing this, I don't understand. But thank you very much.
Councilman Mayor Pro Tem Grant, I'm going to allow you to speak, but it better not be argumentative.
Then I better not speak. Oh, the bottom line is this. First of all, 1103, Monique, states what? 11.03 on the charter.
So I don't have the newest one. I mean, I'm looking at what it stated.
Didn't change.
Where it said no member of a board or commission shall continue in such position after filing for an elective office of the city. That was changed to, I think, after to getting elected now.
Correct.
I believe
after
is what the new
what
charter says. I just don't have that copy.
All right, that's my
yet.
First point. My second point is, since we don't all have all of the facts, Sylvia and myself, we were appointed to the board so that the senior center could operate. They could not form a quorum. That's the only reason we were there. And it was after we had a discussion about it, and the board would have had to shut down because it didn't have enough people to hold a meeting. And now it suddenly seems that we have a crowd. Well, if Councilman Martin and Councilman Street are removed, they will still have a quorum and they will still operate. So they're not needed, just as Sylvia is not needed. I'm not needed. That's why I resigned. That's why she resigned, because we're not needed anymore. All we were doing was allowing the center to operate. And if that's a sin, then it is a sin.
I didn't say it was.
I don't know, man. I'm retired myself, and I have enough job and enough to see over sitting right here in this seat, and I catch enough flack for it.
I can't see someone as much more diversified than myself, but I guess so.
I will entertain a motion.
Now I make a motion we remove Councilman Martin from the board of the Senior Center. We remove Councilman Street from the board of the Senior Center and the EDC committee.
Second.
I have a motion on the table by Mayor Pro Tem Grant and seconded Councilmember Apodaca to remove Councilmembers Martin and Street from the Senior Center Board and to remove Councilmember Street from the EDC Committee. City Secretary, please call roll.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Breyer?
Yes.
Councilmember Street?
Abstain.
No.
Mayor Aldrin.
Yes. With one member abstaining, does that still pass?
Yes.
The motion passes to remove Councilmember Martin and Street from the Senior Board and to remove Councilmember Street from the EDC Committee.
Effective immediately.
Is that immediate?
I didn't hear you, I'm sorry.
Is that immediate?
Yes, as you took action tonight, it makes it immediate. Yes.
Moving on to 8G, reports by council members on their experiences during the 2021 Texas Municipal League Conference. I will start off with this. This was my very first TML to attend. I attended several seminars. One of the first ones that I attended was called Broadband Across Texas. I learned that there were 1 million homes in Texas that are not connected to broadband. And if you don't know what broadband means, that is the internet. I would like to have listed all of the internet and cable providers in our area somewhere listed on our website, Monique. That would be substantial for a new resident coming in when they set up their water, and maybe that could be on some of the printed forms or something that they could be handed to tell them.
We do have that on the printed form. Get a sheet of paper that talks about important numbers, and we do list them there.
The next seminar that I went to, which I found very interesting, is called Cybersecurity. It's a risky business. Everybody out here knows and has also heard about all these businesses being hit, with ransomware, and especially our school district that was just hit, and they paid a ransom. I also learned that ARPA funds can be used to upgrade our infrastructure, our firewall, and to provide security awareness for our city employee, for any city employee that has to log on to any computer or device. It's not if you're going to be attacked, it's when you're going to be attacked. There's attackers out there every second of the day trying to hack anything. All city employees need to know what social engineering is and know how to identify phishing emails. Phishing can also be used as phone calls as well. All computers and programs that the city employees use should be using a two-factor authentication when you sign on. And then one of the last meetings I went to was Transparency and Open Meetings. This seminar let me know how other cities dealt with open meetings at open meetings during the start of the pandemic. It was clear all cities went to remote Zoom meetings. currently, the city of Austin is the only city having remote meetings. The only person required to be present at City Hall is their mayor. They also spoke about being honest and only speaking the truth. The presenter gave an example. A TV personality said something about a boil water notice for the city of Beaumont during a storm Uri. The city of Beaumont did not issue a boil water notice, nor did they need to. They had to deal with the non-truth that the TV personality put out there. This caused major confusion. This right here is the reason to always look at the city's webpage or Kirby CM on Facebook for official City of Kirby information. For in fact, Kirby Community, ran by another individual, is not affiliated with the City of Kirby whatsoever. Speaking about rumors and truth now. Being at a big conference, you should know who you are talking to when you are speaking about specific issues. I heard about this firsthand. Apparently, we had a council member speak with the city secretary of SHIRT, which is also the city secretary of the Northeast Partnership. She was told that this council member heard from a reliable source that Kirby was being kicked out of the Northeast Partnership. That was a lie. And could have started some negativity when we are trying to build this city up. This conversation was shut down quickly by the Northeast Partnership secretary. The city of Kirby pays dues to be a member of the Northeast Partnership. Also, Kirby is in very good standings with this partnership. So I urge this council member to stop saying non-truths. At TML, I also met a lot of people that I could network with, but I had the most networking experiences with our surrounding cities, meeting their council members, which I already know their mayors. That was very informative. And in all, this TML conference was very informative and a very good experience. Does anybody else want to share theirs? Councilmember Greider?
Okay, so I'm going to start with the American Rescue Plan. So the next batch of money comes in September 2022, and I learned that basically we need to go ahead and start thinking on what we want to use that money for. We don't need to wait to the last minute, so we need to all start thinking about a plan, how to implement that. And also that I really, that it was kind of drilled into me, and I kept hearing that this money is like really to help our community, not just for, you know, water pumps and tanks and stuff like that, but it's really to go back to the people. So we really need to consider that. So for instance, there was a couple of things that, I listened to other people in other cities brought up, water bill assistance. I know that there are several residents and, businesses that probably cannot pay their water bill because of, you know, because of COVID and everything that was going on. It's a difficult time for everyone. So, they were saying that could eliminate the debt and wipe that clean. So I think maybe that's something we might could consider. Emergency management funding, generators. We could actually purchase generators with that money. I was like surprised about that. So I was like, cause we need a generator. Cause we remember what happened. Anyways, we know we need a generator from, what's the storm, the
Uri.
I'm sorry, Uri, storm Uri. Food security. So we know that there was a lot of businesses and community members in general just helping each other out, donating food. And they were talking about food security, come up with a plan for our residents. Now, I don't know where we could put the pantry or anything like that, but that would be something that maybe that this community, I actually thought about the fire. Yeah, maybe we can think of something to do that for the community, you know, because food security, food insecurity is an ongoing issue throughout the whole year. That's just not during a crisis, but that's something we could think of. Obviously, public health, broadband. We know how important broadband is when everybody had to start working from home and kids had to start doing, you know, school lessons with Zoom. So we understand how important that is. So that ties in with infrastructure, needs updating, upgrading. Most importantly, we could give back to our small businesses, help those who have helped us through the difficult past year. So that's what I, some things I got for American Rescue Plan, some information about that. Then let's go on to retail, how to bring businesses to our city and improve and market what we have. So local businesses, they need to have a website. That is a must. We need to know our trade area. We need data and cell phone data to be exact. We need to know how many people come through Kirby, how many people pass through Kirby, basically how many people go past on FM 78. I have a lot of friends, and to be honest, who now when they go past Kirby because of me, they're just like, oh, that's Kirby. Like, you know, they drive a million times past Kirby. Everybody does, you know, I mean, you know, everybody goes past Kirby. So we need to have that cell phone data information ASAP. So when we go to the retailers, we can say, here is our trade area info. So basically, don't focus on our population. We can say focus on our trade area. We can basically say why we're a good fit. Kirby's a good fit because, for instance, we can have 500,000 people pass by in 2 months. That's something that we can show these retailers. Be like, hey, they're coming by here. If there was something here, they would stop. I don't know. Yeah, that's okay. Well, I did ask Monique about that, and she was saying that we have the traffic data, but the gentleman at the conference was saying that we need cell phone data because that's what he was saying. Cell phone data is the best to bring it to them. So we need to have that readily available. And Kirby does have retail leakage. And what is retail leakage? When, for example, you leave one area to spend money in another area. So, of course, we know we have retail leakage. I mean, we go to Ross up the street. We go wherever, HEB, everywhere else we leave to go, you know. So, again, we need to be – oh, also, he was – the speaker was saying, you know, you have to be proactive in reaching out to businesses to come to your city. You can't just sit and wait for them to come. And he was like, when you go to them, he said, make sure you have all the numbers available. What is your trade area? What land you have available? What square footage is available? Have that information ready. And there's also companies that we can hire to find businesses to come to Kirby. And I believe it was the mayor pro tem from, it was either Shirts or Selma. Okay. He was saying that's actually what they did. They hired a company to bring businesses in. Okay. So the next thing, infrastructure plan. We need to have an infrastructure plan when that money comes in, we need to be ready and kind of think about what we need to do. When that money comes in, because it's not really, it's not if, it's when that money's going to come in, because it's going to happen. Okay, so we need to contract a grant writer ASAP. What I really thought about was that, and this made me really think, I really thought our city manager, I really think we need to look at getting Monique an assistant. Because the assistant, besides other duties assigned, could be a grant writer and could tackle our public relations. I think that we really need to think about that. And then obviously other duties assigned. as we all know, other duties, you know.
She had that before.
Well, I mean, look, bring her. I'm saying we need to.
But they had to.
Right. Bring her.
Yeah.
Had to cut it. Right, right. Yes, yes. Oh, and that's what another thing I learned about the American Rescue Plan. They were saying that in there, there's money for if you lost employed positions, you can use that money to bring those people back. Okay, so now I did have some things that made me think of when I was in there after the freeze. Did we revise our emergency management plan? Because we just can't always rely on like San Antonio or Converse. We need update communication and consistent communication during outages. For example, places for the residents to go. You know, just in case we do have another Uri come along, or, you know, we might have, the way the climate's going lately, I don't know, next summer we might have a huge heat storm. I don't know what you would call that, a heat wave or something, and they might need to come together for that. So we need somewhere for our residents to go. So, and also, does the city have emergency supplies readily available for the city? Again, in-house, in our city, not where we have to go to San Antonio, Converse, or have to travel outside the city. And the lastly, sorry, I'm taking so long. Okay. Oh, and also, even though this is local government, also what's going on in Austin does matter. Okay. So please keep yourself up to date on current events, because it matters. You live in the state of Texas. So what goes on in Austin does affect you also. So a couple of things I think that people need to take a look and research. Bail bond reform. That's some issues and some stuff going on in Austin, and redistricting. You need to really, really don't just sit there and say it doesn't affect me, because it might affect you one day. And that's it. And again, I met a lot of people, obviously from all over, and I got a lot of information, a lot of feedback. It's interesting because, you know, we're all sharing information about each other's cities, and I don't want to say it's comforting, but it was interesting that a lot of us are in the same boat. Like, we're all just trying to make it, and it was nice to have a lot of people, too, all together who really was, like, giving you ideas, like, hey, you know, like the generator. I never really thought of the generator if the person didn't mention the generator. So, I mean, it was nice information, and it was helpful, and that's it.
Councilmember Breiter, just so you know that the Mayor Pro Tem of Selma did give the business card to myself and our city manager for that company to bring in retail.
Good. Okay, yes. But he got
it. Councilmember Street.
You covered it all.
I talked to a ton of people. I got information, flyers, doodads from so many companies for every department we have. I have things for grant writers, engineering firms, bill collectors, information technology if we want to set up a text messaging system, things to purchasing co-ops, additional ones that other than the one we already work with, insurance, inspectors, interactive maps. I've seen a bunch of those, and we have several of our sister cities that use those on their websites. They're great. Architects and library for the fire department, emergency services. I got two sets of cards from people that support the emergency management portion of what you do. Traffic control, more electronic sign companies I got information from. Public Works, I got information on playgrounds and splash pads and designing parks and doing things with what we have. I got things on fire hydrants, heavy equipment, water services, and tires. I thought of you. And on the streets, lighting. There were a lot of solar lighting companies there for streetlights. It was a different kind of street material, not asphalt, but it was something else. And I have I got the literature on that. It's supposed to last longer than asphalt. I'm sure it's more expensive, but, you know, we could look into that. And the asphalt zipper guys were there. So I talked to everybody. I was I was worn out by the time I got done. But anyway, it was enlightening. I chatted with people. I got into deep discussions with people. It was nice. It was exchange of information. It was wonderful. And I highly recommend that you go next time if you have the opportunity.
Councilmember Martin.
Thank you, Mayor. First thing I want to do, I want to address what you said a while ago. I was told by council people in the Northeast Partnership that they was going to kick us out. I went directly. When I found out who she was, I went and asked her. And she told us we had nothing to worry about, and that's all I needed to know. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I went to several conferences and found some interesting things. First thing, when we are in our meeting, we're not allowed to table nothing unless it's an emergency. He said that if a bear walks in the door and you got to get out, or somebody comes in with a gun, you got to table it. Other than that, it's got to be postponed with a date or indefinitely. The other thing they told us was approval of the minutes. We have to post post the minutes prior to us voting on them. If not, we have to read each item individually and vote on it. Another conference was water infrastructure. I know they said that we've got to start changing the meters out. I think it was Lake Jackson that changed out their meters, and they went to the automated meters. And I think they said they had to get a grant to do it, and I think it was around $5 million for 5,600 homes. And he said it's so, you know, everything's done by a phone. But he said the best part on it, he said in 20 years they're going to get $19 million back on their return. So that's something to look forward there to. I know, you know, we'll probably get a grant too or whatever. Went to one that says we need to start working with other cities, collaborating with other organizations, nonprofit organizations. All small cities need help, and we need to reach out to them. And the only thing I went to some gun classes, and I feel sorry for our police department. All the laws they're trying to change, all the laws that they didn't change, there's a lot to keep up with. And I feel sorry for our police department on that. Better than that, that's all I got.
Monique? Oh, you want me to share?
Of course.
Well, you're the main one.
Okay. They said council members on here, so I wasn't ready.
Wrote that.
No, I mean, I gathered a lot of information. I attended session that the Government Finance Officers Association hosted on just keeping current on your finances and your investments. It was a good refresher for me. One of the things that I took away was that we need to bid out our financial audit services at least every 5 years. And so I know that's something that we have not done. We've had the auditors. They do change out the staff members who are auditing our books. But just to be in compliance, it's a good idea for us to go ahead and bid out the auditing services. So after this audit, we'll go ahead and do that. I also talked to a few vendors. One that I had really wanted to do is put a restroom in Hugo Lentz Park, where we have that porta potty that's been there for years. And Public Works Director and I had talked about it a few months ago about, you know, we already have the concrete pad. Do we have any plumbing there? Could we do some plumbing installation? Well, there was a vendor that has already outfitted restrooms that they could deliver and probably drop it there. Cheapest one was about $60,000, but he said, you know, we can maybe talk about some other options for that. But I'd really like to see that happen within a year to get a restroom, because we're paying to service that porta potty monthly, and it's not aesthetically pleasing. And if we want to continue to improve our parks, I think that would be a nice addition. Talked to, you know, several other vendors about some water and sewer machinery that they sell. So brought back some information for the Public Works Director on that. The best part for me going to TML is always being able to engage and network with other city managers, talk about some of the best practices that they have. We bounce ideas off of each other. One night, just sitting up for several hours in the lobby, I got an idea about a government day for students to host in our city, and I gave a city manager an idea about our government 101 session. So we've already followed up, and he's going to use my idea, and I'm going to use his. So those are the kinds of things that I think are really key. And then just kind of, you know, talking and networking with our neighboring communities, even other council members, I get to visit with them as well. So that's the best part for me.
Wonderful. Yes, ma'am.
And I just want to say that another thing that I noticed that our city manager knows a lot of people across this entire state. And also, it's and just not by them just knowing her, but they also adore her. They as soon as when I was in places and they would be like, "Well, where are you?" They were like, "Oh, Monique's your city manager." I was like, "Yeah." They were like, "Oh, she's great." They were like, you should be able to ask her anything. You know, they were like, "If I have a question, I call Monique." So I just want to put that out there that our city manager is very. I mean, if you don't know it already, she's. She knows a lot, and we know up here that she's very helpful, and I just want to, since other people out there are noticing across the state of Texas, I mean, obviously, I just feel like I should publicly say that here also.
When I would get that response, I would say, you know, back off, she's ours. Thank you, everybody, for your updates on that. Moving on to 9A, City Manager Announcements. Monique, did you have any announcements?
Mayor, I do not have anything tonight. I just want to thank all of the staff. While we were at TML, I want to thank Council Members Apodaca and Salazar, Mayor Pro Tem Grant, for attending National Night Out. And I want to thank all of the city staff for making sure that went over without us being there. So I heard they had a wonderful time. So thank you all to all the departments who did that and all our residents who came out.
All right, moving on to requests and announcements by Mayor and Council Members for items to be placed on future City Council agendas and announcements on city events and community interests. Council Member Salazar.
All right. I'm just going to make a comment here. You know, contrary to social media, Kirby community, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the zipper machine. And there's not one person up here that does not want it. We want it. Unfortunately, we can't afford it right now and afford its implementation, nor do we have the personnel to man that. You know, right now we have a street sweeper because we don't have the personnel. We can't even run that. I know you talked about retail leakage, land availability. When I first got out here or came up here, I already explained to y'all that if we don't move this city to the west and to the south, it's going to cease to exist. And instead of fighting over the zipper machine, why don't we take that effort and go to San Antonio, and let's start moving this. Because once we go and get those areas that are of commercial, then we will be able to sustain ourselves. We will. As long as we don't expand in population, we can expand to commercial property. You know, and so what if it takes a 20 to 25-year plan? You know, that's what Converse is doing. Y'all talk about all the other cities. Why can't we be doing that? Instead of arguing over the machine, once we start moving towards that way, we can afford all the machinery we want, plus have the employees to do it with. You know, that's my only comment is, yeah, we do want a zipper machine, even though Roger's over there like this. So, but we do want it.
Thank you, Council Member Salazar.
Yeah.
Council Member Greider.
So, actually, that was on my... on here, also on my paper, I was going to ask the status update of the road haul company, if we can get that, because I know we were waiting on that cost estimate on the exact numbers, exactly like what equipment and the cost from them we needed about that machine. Okay, so don't forget the next Kirby Youth event will be October 30th, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., hosted by the San Antonio Rugby Academy. Male and female, all ages welcome. The Kirby Middle School Community, I cannot talk tonight. Kirby Middle School Community Trunk or Treat, October 26th, Tuesday, 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Free candy, costume contest, live DJ. On their flyer said their theme is Super Safe Halloween. So if you can, but you're not required. If you can come in a superhero costume or shirt or whatever. I just thought I'd throw that information out there. Because the San Antonio Rugby Academy also, they sent me a message like, hey, we're going to be there. I was like, oh, okay. So just want to throw that out there. That's a fun, safe, family-friendly event. It was 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m.
on the 26th.
26th Tuesday. Okay, and okay. Now talking about goals. So January. Okay, the reason why. Let me go back to the zipper machine or the road hog, and I'm just gonna say road machine, some type of road machine, because we don't know exactly who's gonna be zipper or what it's gonna be. Yeah. To be honest. Okay, so January 22, 2022, I want us to set a goal and have the information and a plan of how we want to go forward with really tackling, like, the road work, road improvements. Yes, sir. Thank you. And I don't know if the infrastructure bill that, like I said, not like if, when, you know, how that exactly is going to affect our city. But I did learn in the TML conference, a lot of people were saying, like, get ready because money will be coming to the cities. So whenever you, because I know just like with the American Rescue Plan, Monique, you had workshops and stuff like that came along. I'm pretty sure the infrastructure bill, all the cities are going to have some type of workshops or something. And if they do, if you don't mind, I would like to attend or let me know so I can go get some information.
And if I may, I think one of the things that we need to do is start working on updating our capital improvement plan or our five-year budget forecast. That was another thing they talked about in that finance session was about, you know, in conjunction with your budget, you should have that plan so we could be looking at over the next 5 years, what are we going to do incrementally with infrastructure? We have one. We just have not updated that in a while, okay. So we do need to do that.
Okay. All right. And the government 101 class last night, the residents came out and participated. Thank you all. That was great. Thanks to the city staff who attended and presented. The next class, I would like to see more than 5 residents come to the class. We have 8,000 people. About 8,000 people, and only 5 people showed up. And I'm just going to say that's ridiculous. You know, I mean, you could say on social media and everything what you want to say, but you need to show up. If you really care about your community, show up. Do you need a ride? Let me know. Okay? All right. So I urge more people to sign up and get involved. Let's do better. Let us learn together for the betterment of our community. Okay. So, sorry, I had to preach. Okay, let me go to the next one. So I'm going to start at a minimum one event each month where the residents can come and talk with me and exercise. Okay? So the first event, November 1st, 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. and meet me at Friendship Park. We can travel the trail with council. That's the title. And the name, by the way, actually was by your former mayor, Lisa Pierce. That idea, me and her had a similar idea, but that name came from her. I asked her, could I steal it? And she said, yes, please. So I took that name. So we can go at a slow pace, whatever your desire, you know, whatever pace. We can go around the park a couple of times or even more. It's up to you. So you can talk to me about city issues. We can talk about your job. We can talk about your kids. We can talk about your pets. We can talk about anything you want to. And then also at the same time, we're going to exercise together. Yes, just walking. We're just going to walk. We're going to walk. No running or anything.
And so what time is that going
to
be?
It will be 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m.
You're going to miss out on a whole bunch of fat motors like me.
And I want, because I want to get to know you, and I want you to get to know me. And I think that's an informal setting where we can get to know each other and just walk and talk. So again, November 1st, 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m., Friendship Park, Travel the Trail with Council. I hope to see you there, November 1st. And then the next one will be December 1st. Okay, and to Mr. Shaw, yes, I did bring up your suggestion. I listened to you before when you were talking about the budget. And I do agree with you about getting down to the nitty-gritty about the budget, sitting down with Tina one-on-one. I do think that needs to happen. I know I need it. And I know I brought this up before about, I think Kimberly and Monique, you guys said that it was already in place where we had, you could like 2 hours with
yes.
the staff or whatever. We need to bring that back because I definitely, yes, the numbers and stuff like that, that's really not my game. You know, to be honest or whatever. You can give me everything else. I can legal briefs and everything else, but numbers are really not my game. So, yes, I do agree with you, Mr. Shaw. We need to have that. And also, we're going to talk about the background checks. Mr. Romans was talking about the background checks on council and the mayor and also on the applicants. So, for instance, we really do need to decide. If we put that ordinance in place, we need to decide on how are we going to do these background checks once that person applies? So that means that also has to go for us up here. We're currently up here, so we still, because we haven't had any background checks. I mean, I do because I got a security clearance, but I'm saying some of you might not have a clearance. So you're going to need those background checks. So we need to decide, put that on the agenda, how we want to go about that, contract that out in-house. We need to come up with a plan. And other than that, I just want to thank all the city staff, fire, police, and public works, and everyone. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Councilmember Granter. Mayor Pro Tem Grant.
Well, first of all, I want to thank everybody for Tuesday night. While I was up there, it was a steady stream of cars. I mean, it just, people showed up. Kind of tells me that anything that we try to put together, people will participate. We've just got to have a little more organization. If we could bring back the fireman's picnic, I mean, as a starter, that'd be the greatest thing in the world, I'm telling you, because we do need an outlet. And I think that we as a city should get behind them as quickly as we can. Also, on a positive note, when's the last time anybody has been up and down Springfield? Have you seen all what's going on in there? They had a concrete pour. The gentleman that talked about wanting to put in his business and others with it, I mean, they're pouring huge slabs, 20 by 20s. I walked, well, it was a little bit too muddy, to be very honest about it. So I kind of observed it from the little behind the little taco factory there. But every one of those people that have been here, they're all of them are doing something. So that's going to really bring some revenue into the city as soon as it gets going. We held it off long enough because of things that happened, but I think now that those people are going, they're going to go 100%. I noticed that, again, and this is something that's really bothered me a lot, and I really don't have an answer, but Councilman Grider is coming up with it, which I really appreciate. As long as I've lived out here and in this city, there's really only two things for the kids to do. And one was Little League, which I did for 14 years, past president of it. And the other is Pop Warner Football, which I did for 12 years. I don't know how to answer this question, and it's rhetorical, I know that. But I wish we could find a way or something that we could find to participate in for all the kids. My health issues with some things that are going on, I have fallen down on getting the volleyball court finished out. That's my fault, and I accept that. I will take care of it. That's just going to happen. But, again, if anybody has any ideas, you know, please bring them to us, and let's see if we can work with them.
it just, like, right down the street from me, we've got kids probably from 11 to maybe, what, 5. And Ben Ziegelman is a busy street. I don't care. I'm not trying to anything, but I wished we had something that they could go to that would take them off the street, that would get them away from a busy street. Because kids got to be kids. Kids got to, you know, it used to be on Saturdays, you got on your bicycle at 8 o'clock in the morning, you didn't come home when the streetlight came on. It ain't like that no more. We have to protect our kids. We've got to, I tell you, I still am a police officer in a very small town. Sabinal is only 1,800 people. But they have more to do for their kids than we ever thought about. Mm-hmm. And we need to do something like that. And again, I need, or the city needs, however you want to say it, however you want to put it out there, suggestions, anything that we can do for our kids, because they're our future. If we don't take care of the future, who's going to take care of us? Mm-hmm. Okay? And I appreciate, I tell you what, folks, and I am not blowing smoke, I appreciate this lady to my left. It has been a long, long time coming, and I am as guilty as anybody else, probably more, of falling into a rut and not looking past the edge of this. And I commend this lady for starting to bring things up. It has nothing to do with politics. It has nothing to do with damn things on Facebook or anything. It just has to do for the betterment of the people, and that's where we need to be. I don't care what that person says about me. And, boy, if anybody in this room knows it, he knows it, and so do other people in this room. I could care less. I'm 77 years old. You think I give a flip? You can't insult me anymore. You can't. Well, you can piss me off. That's true. But what I'm saying to you is, folks, we need to take care of our kids and of our city. Okay? And I will do anything that I can in my power to help anybody to go forward with anything for the kids and the young people. Thank you.
Councilmember Street.
Thank you. I wanted to bring y'all's attention, bring attention to you, the Judson ISD bond that's going to be voted on November the 2nd. They were talking about it today at Northeast Partnership Luncheon. They have changed the language on the ballot. And it's going to tell you that this is a property tax increase because the state says they have to tell you that now. However, there will be no tax rate increase. Your property may have gone up in value, so yes, your taxes will probably go up for the school district, but they're not increasing the tax rate. And this bond for $302 million is going to do something for every school in the district, including air conditioning the gyms that are not currently being air conditioned. There are 16 gyms, who knew that, that didn't have air conditioning in them. I didn't know that. I couldn't imagine in Texas not having AC. Anyway, they're going to fix that. They're also going to build a new elementary and a new middle school. They're also working on technology and updating some football and soccer fields and a track at Wagner. And they're resurfacing the track at Rutledge and adding some tennis courts. But this is a good bond, it looks like. So I just want to let you know that this election is November 2nd. Don't let it scare you. It's not going to increase your school taxes. Also, at Northeast Partnership Luncheon today, everybody was making their announcements for their holiday programs and whatnot they had going on. And I would have stood up and talked about the Santa Parade and our cookies with Santa, but it's not on the city calendar. And I couldn't remember what day it was. Well, I couldn't remember what day it was, so I didn't mention it. So can we start putting things like that on the city calendar so other people will find out about it? Okay. Thank you to all the city employees, and y'all have a good weekend.
Councilmember Apodaca.
Two things. Norma, I would like to say thank you for your unfailing attendance to these meetings. It's always a pleasure to have you here in case we have questions, so thank you. And to our city employees also, again, thank you all for being here all the time. Second thing is the VFW this Sunday, October 17th, is Sunday Fun Day. The doors open at 1 p.m. We're going to have hamburgers and cheeseburgers, a hamburger cheeseburger fundraiser with chips, including the fixings, $8. And there's going to be a 50-50 and raffles. And it is open to the public.
When is that video?
Sunday.
VFW. When?
Sunday, the 17th. Doors open at 1 o'clock.
And that's it. That's all I got.
Okay, Councilmember
Martin. Okay, Susan brought up about the bond issue. We need to try to support it. It's for the kids. It's for the betterment of this community, of the schools. They said don't let, like she said, don't let it scare you. There's not going to be a tax rate, you know, so... try to get everybody to vote for it. Another thing is I've been having a lot of citizens come to me about tractor-trailer rigs parked on the streets. Mm-hmm. Just the tractors, not the trailers. Some of them are parked the wrong way. Sometimes they're on the top of the sidewalk. And they're, I've noticed them all over town. We have an ordinance, right, that you cannot park them on the street.
You can't. Yeah. I need to look at what it says. You can't park the wrong direction, period. No vehicle can park the wrong direction.
Right, right. And they're parked on the street. I've seen them. And sometimes, you know, there's two of them on one street. And, you know, they're all over town. I've seen them. But, okay. And, you know.
So they need to report it. If they see it, tell them to call it in.
They said they do. I can't tell you if they do or not. They say they do. They said they moved one time and then they turned it around and parked it right back. But neither here nor there. That's something maybe we need to check into. And like Ms. Grider said about the ordinance we passed last week, the ordinance that 02021-903, and you said that we needed to finalize that ordinance. So maybe we can bring it back. And because we got elections coming up here pretty quick. Mm-hmm. So let's finalize that and, you know, get it out there, whatever we need to do. And other than that, thank everybody for coming. Thank the city for working in the rain, you know, and taking care of the city while we were gone. And y'all have a good night.
Thank you, Councilmember Martin. First of all, I do want all of our citizens to educate themselves about the school bond for Judson ISD. Like Councilmember Grant said, our children are the future of our city and basically our world. And we need to take care of them. And this bond will allow our school district to help us have well-rounded children, well-rounded, educated children to become productive adults of society. So yes, our citizens need to be very informed and support this bill as much as possible and get out and vote. Secondly, I would like to thank Councilmember Apodaca, Councilmember Grant, and Councilmember Salazar for attending National Night Out so the rest of us could attend TML. I would also like to thank the City of Kirby for allowing myself, Councilmember Grider, Councilmember Street, and Councilmember Martin to attend TML. I would also like, well, a couple of weekends ago, we were speaking about the volleyball court, right? And I talked with Monique about this because I went to go get new glasses at Rolling Oaks Mall. And I don't know if it was because I got new glasses or whatever, but when I was leaving, I saw they have a sand volleyball court at Rolling Oaks Mall on the side by JCPenney's. And yes, Mr. Shaw, I have pictures to show you. Yeah. For what they have at Rolling Oaks Mall, I really don't see that it would be that expensive to put a sand court like they have up at our park. I think it's worth checking into. Last but not least, I want to send a very sincere thank you to our fire department. They were able to come to my house and assist my husband and my daughter while I was in Houston at TML. And they were also able to come to my house Sunday night to assist us, to help getting my husband to the hospital. I cannot tell you how much I value our firemen and also our police officers. Thank you from the bottom of my heart, sincerely. And with that said, meeting adjourned. Be safe going home.